Welcome to After Hours on this Friday evening of day two of the NCAA tournament, minus the play-in games, but of course the real tournament yesterday and today. Jay Binkley with Jacob Mustard producing the operation. Couple to Oak Park Northman here. Nothing wrong with that. State champion Oak Park Northman. How about that? How about that, my friend?
It's crazy, but you know,
what
gotta represent.
What are the odds? A couple Oak Park guys in here. It's nice to see. You've been following this tournament very often because it's one of those things. It's March Madness. I get into it. Don't get into college basketball as much during the season, but man, I do like watching the tournament because I like watching tournaments. I like watching how they play, and I like the intensity, enthusiasm, the winner go home. I like that style. I do get frustrated with the final minute of the game because it takes too damn long to finish the game. That's a real problem. Doesn't feel like the same as it did, you know, back in the day watching the NCAA tournament. But it's fun. Everybody's got the brackets out and having fun with it. It's fun to go sit and watch them with your buddies, whatever. You get beer coming out, get the wings, get the pizza, you name it. But where's all the upsets, man? Where's all the madness of March? I heard Carrington talking about that. Where's the madness this March? I guess we had a couple of storylines. There's 12 seeds beat 5 seeds. McNeese beat Clemson 69-67 yesterday. Clemson made a nice little comeback towards the end. Couldn't hit a three in the first half. They did in the second half. Then Colorado State 78-70 over Memphis. Colorado State actually into the rolling in this tournament pretty damn hot as it was. Oregon Liberty later tonight, 12-5. But is it really an upset? 12-5s? And everybody loves to pick that in their brackets. They always have that 12-5. So far, there's been 57 upsets by number 12 seed since the AA tournament expanded in 1985. Going into 2025, the lower seed was 55-101. That's a 35% winning percentage the teams had to go with. The odds are about the same or even better, real close to it, than 7 beating 10 as far as 12 beating 5.
Yeah, it's a, you know, you kind of see that in your middle mush together seeds where, you know, technically a 10 and 11 seed, if they end up facing or, you know, halfway through the bracket, you got those seeds that are kind of jumbled together. It could really go one way or the other. There's so many teams, and any team can have a really hot night.
Yeah.
And win any day.
Yeah, it's one of the things. I know you're a big football guy. I, of course, like football a lot as well. You and I will be, you'll be with Chris and I for the NFL draft specials. We've got you covered all week. Get you covered on Monday that week. Get you covered the whole night of the draft. Beat the landing in Liberty again.
Looking
like
forward
to it. Like a 5-hour show. Got a 6-hour show Saturday. We'll be at the all afternoon up until the Royals game. Then we get you covered on Sunday. And I think we have you covered on Monday as well. So a lot of NFL draft coming up with us. My man here went to Northwest Missouri State. I went to Pittsburgh State, so a couple D2 guys. But you were there, interesting enough, with Ben McCall, the head coach of Drake, was the head coach at Northwest Missouri State when you were there.
Yeah, he was a fantastic coach, and he led Northwest to some winning moments. I was there for 2, I think, of the national
championships. Yeah, they had 4 of them. They had 4 of them overall. Yeah, you think it's a football school, man. That basketball team was absolutely dominant with Ben McCollum.
It was crazy. I mean, he was the coach that led them there. And, I mean, I graduated the same year he left. So I haven't experienced them since then. But I'm sure there was a little bit of an initial fall off, and maybe they rebounded just a little bit.
You know what's funny is the kind of the hesitancy to hire, you know, successful coaches when the kind of the new trend, let's hire the guy with no experience and make him the head coach because he played pro ball or whatever. That seems to be the kind of trend. But the guys like, you know, Chris Klieman, that wins 4 national titles at North Dakota State. Then you had Lance Leipold, who ended up with what, 6 national titles, I think, but it was D3. Chris Klieman's, of course, were 1AA or FCS level, but it was in North Dakota State, and hell, they beat Division I teams all the time. Wisconsin and Whitewater, he had 6 D3 titles there. But what's wrong with getting that little success? Ben McCollum comes with 4 national titles. The dude just wins, wins, and wins. Listen, he's going to be a shortstop at Drake. He'll probably be at Iowa. He's from Iowa City. I mean, that's probably where it's going to go. But teams almost hesitant to hire this and want to go the retread route instead of guys that just proved to be winners.
Yeah, you know, everyone's trying to look for the Sean McVays of the world where, you know, he was kind of an assistant coach and kind of under the spotlight to become their new franchise and be like, yeah, we got the youngest head coach and now he's the winningest youngest coach. And it's like, man, just go with the proven success. And that's what McCollum is there. And like you said, I think he does end up somewhere like Iowa or Iowa State, whichever job opens up there. Get
back
home.
Iowa. Would guess Iowa. Now, here's the thing. Now, D2 basketball, there's no FCS, of course, in basketball. Division II up to Division I. Four of the Northwest Missouri State players went to Drake, including the man of the hour, the guy that basically led college basketball in minutes played, Bennett Sturts from Liberty High School, transferred from Northwest Missouri State up there. But they're loaded with Kansas City guys. I mean, all over the place. You look at Cam Minyawu from Staley. You look at Isaiah Jackson from Independence. He went to William Kirstman. You look at Tavion Banks. He's actually from Kansas City, Mo, but he went to Minnesota Prep and then Northwest Florida Junior College, but he's from here. Kale Combs, Nixon, Missouri. Bennett Sturts, as we mentioned, from Liberty, Missouri. Another one from Plattsburgh, Missouri, as far as Isaiah Howard is concerned. Overland Park, Joey Mattioni. Freshman, Blue Valley Northwest High School, and Daniel Abreu from Springfield, Missouri. That is a team loaded with local guys or real close within driving distance of Kansas City. That's a dude that went out and said, you know what? There's a lot of talent here. You don't see this talent, you know, at UMKC. You don't see it anywhere else. But Ben McCollum, nice job luring those guys to Northwest Missouri State who followed him on the Drake.
Yeah, Daniel Abreu, he was... You know, he was the reserve.
He's a Northwest guy, too. Yeah.
When he got minutes, he was showing big flashes on the defensive end and a very skilled offensive big man on the pick and roll.
Too, went to Northwest, I believe.
Yeah, and then Sturts was electric up at Northwest. Nothing but good to say about him. He was a perimeter scorer, and like you said, he's leading in minutes played. He was out there running all up and down the court. He was offense, defense, anything you wanted out of him. He was a very coachable guy, and he was a very successful part of the Northwest team.
And Missouri has, you know, local kids, too. It's just funny that these coaches, a lot of times in football or whatever, they don't recruit like the local guys. I remember Ronnie Bell, when he was at he won the Simone Award as the best football player in the metro. He played at Park Hill and won the Simone Award, and yet he had an offer to go play basketball in Missouri State, and that was it, right? And then all of a sudden, he wins the Simone Award. Then all of a sudden, Harbaugh comes, you know, creeping in with his brother-in-law is at Blue Spring South, whatever it was, and his wife's from around the area, so we had ties around this area. I'm just guessing. I don't know. I'm guessing he probably said, where's this kid going to play football? Okay, me offer of Michigan. He goes to Michigan and plays extremely well. His brother's there now, but then all of a sudden, KU gets interested, K-State, you know, they make last-ditch efforts to kind of keep Ronnie Bell here. But boom, he goes off to Michigan. I remember talking to a Blue Valley North head coach. It's now Park Hill. He had 35 guys within a handful of years go play college football. And he was talking about, you know, the Urban Meyers of the world when he's at Ohio State. He was talking about Harbaugh. He was talking about P.J. Fleck from Minnesota. He's talking about all these coaches coming in this coach's office. You know the one guy he never saw? Anybody from Kansas. And that's just right down the road, man. I mean, at this point is before Leipold got there. They're getting beat by, like, quarterbacks from Richmond, Missouri, down and running back from Staley at Miami of Ohio. I mean, they were getting beat by all this local talent. They just stay away from it. But I think that's actually, even though it's kind of a local story, I think that's the story of the tournament, man. It's a tournament that doesn't have a ton of upset. It is a... is a bit of an upset, of course, with Drake beating Missouri. But I think that's one of the stories of the tournament. McNeese is a story, or McNeese State, if you call them, but they go by McNeese. School down in Louisiana. Did you see their trainer, what he was doing? He has that boom box with him, right? He's already got 3 nil deals.
Oh, yeah, I did hear about this.
I think BWW is one of them, some cookie company, and I forgot. He's got like 3 of them now. And, of course, this is going to go as far as they go. If they keep going, who knows how much more money this guy, he's team manager. He comes out with the boombox on him and does the tunnel walk with the players behind him. And this has become real popular. And I guarantee you they'll show it ad nauseum with these guys walking into the stadium or out of the stadium. You know the 49ers do that, right? Debo Samuel used to do that. You know, the 49ers put the boombox out and walk out. So it's not like they're the first team to go do it. It'll be glorified like they are. But the 49ers have been doing this for a long time. They carry that boombox, and so the team manager's getting all this run, getting 3-0 deals. Again, it's going to be great until the 15 minutes fades. And it will fade.
I mean, as long as they're winning, keep on it. But, yeah, it's easy to do stuff when you're winning and kind of be all trendy and, you know, follow what the 49ers kind of brought to the media side of it. But it's definitely, you know, as soon as they take a hard loss, it's like, well, you know, you're 15 minutes of fame. There you go.
Yeah, so the tournament's looking for storylines. Everybody's looking for the sister gene and looking for that storyline. But not a ton of upsets. You'd think there'd be a lot more now with name, image, and likeness. Where the smaller schools compete with the bigger schools, and they make it interesting. Right before the show, I'm sitting there watching North Carolina, that a lot of people didn't think should be in the tournament. They were down 22 to Ole Miss at a time, even in the second half. They came back and made that game within 2 points. And eventually, Ole Miss stretched it out there at the end. North Carolina had 4 straight possessions where they had the ball and couldn't make a shot. They could have made this game closer. They could have tied it up. They couldn't have taken the lead. They weren't taking threes. They were trying to drive to the rim and everything else. They couldn't do it. 4 straight drives. It's like, man, North Carolina came back, made the game kind of interesting. But, yeah, I'll watch it tonight. We have it on. I've got 4 screens going up right now in the studio. Watch it. It is the tournament. I brought this up last week, Jacob. Where do you sit on this? And some people, because it is the thing of the moment. It's what people are talking about. Is this a... Consider the NCAA tournament a top 3 sporting event in the United States? I said the NFL draft's a top 3 sporting event. Sure, I think March Madness right in there with it, and I think the Super Bowl with it as well.
Yeah, I mean, just from, you know, just graduating college, I saw everything where you're sitting in class, and if you're at the back row, you look at everybody's computer screens in front of you, and everybody has a March Madness game on. So I think you capture the people in college, and I think that pull is just enough. And then you have everybody who's fans outside of the sport or outside of the schools, and everybody's a fan of where they graduated from. And if your team's in, like, you know, I don't really pay too much attention to March Madness, but I knew Mizzou was in it, so I tuned into that game, unfortunately. But, you know, it's a, I definitely say it's top 3, in my opinion, if not top, it's got to be in your top 5.
And listen, I understand I love the Masters. I like the PGA Tour. I like it. The Masters, it's fun to watch. It's fun to sit down and watch. But it's not everybody does that. You know, I like doing it. I know people that do it. And those that are into it are really into it. You know, it's fun. I like it. I enjoy it. I like sitting around with, you know, friends and stuff and watching. I get it. Daytona 500. I watch it too. I watch NASCAR. But the general consensus probably isn't talking about it. You go outside in your neighborhood and, you know, I doubt, you know, someone's coming down, you think, Austin Cindric's going to win this year. You don't get those comments. Right? You think Scottie Scheffler's going to win the Masters. You don't get that stuff. People start talking draft picks all the time. And all the markets around the country, when teams don't make the playoffs, it's all right, who are they going to draft, turn this team around? Kansas City went out and got Mahomes. That changed this town forever. Well, as what you do on Super Bowl Sundays or winning Super Bowl championships or having parades, he brought 3 of them to Kansas City. So it has changed our landscape here in Kansas City. As far as the brackets at NCAA tournament, I don't think you have to be a huge fan. I think people are filling out brackets all over the place. I know my mother, 78-year-old mother, my aunt, they're filling out brackets. You know, hey, what are they doing? Doing it from work or doing it from friends or whatever. They're filling out brackets. They don't know anything about these teams. They just have fun doing it because March Madness does captivate people in certain ways. It just does. And I think the NFL draft does that as well. In Detroit, they had, 750,000 in attendance for the draft. They're saying maybe 1 million people actually floated through there at some point. It's up in Green Bay this year. It's going to be every hotel room in Green Bay down to Chicago is going to be full. Milwaukee, you name it, it's going to be full that weekend because it's free and it's a place to go with them NFL teams. You can't afford to go to the Super Bowl or go around and watch your team play. Going to the NFL draft is fun. When the draft was here in Kansas City, people from all over people from all over came down to the draft, but certainly I think it's right up there with everything else. Our phone number, 913-586-7965, 913-586-7965. Same as the Jace Outland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. All right, let's talk some football again, all right? Because it never goes away. I saw a mock, and I'm going to mock the mock. We'll do that next. Welcome back on the Smarts Madness Night. NFL draft coming up very, very soon. Jay Binkley with you. Jake Mustard producing the operation. Just a couple Oak Park Northmen if you need us. State champion Oak Park Northmen in basketball. From the text line, 913-586-7965, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Go through a few of these. Here's from the 913 from our friend Lance. Go to Lance Weber, likes putting mock drafts out all the time. Love talking to Lance. His top three sporting events he thinks are the Super Bowl, WrestleMania, and then the NFL draft. That's good. That's fun. That's a quality list right there.
Yeah, WrestleMania should be really good this year. I don't know if you've been paying attention. John Cena's final year, he may be turning heel, you know, as much as he can.
It, then I switched kind of I got really more into the UFC. But it's fun. Anything you can get together with your friends and have fun with, drink a few beers, throw some pizza down or whatever, that's a good time, right? I even like watching bass fishing, man. Don't laugh, Jacob. I was in a fantasy league. 816, the draft is a top three is nuts, Bink. 816, phone number's open for you. 913-586-7965. I'd like to talk about this with you and see why you don't think so. I would like to know what three events in this country are bigger than the draft. I would like, in this country, I'm not talking about European soccer or anything, I'm talking about in this country. Can you name me another sporting event in this country that had over 750,000 people at the draft like Detroit did last year? Can you find me another event that has that many people? Or in Kansas City with, 350,000+ people that stopped by during the draft? Who knows what Green Bay's going to have? It's probably going to have more attendance than the actual population than Green Bay. But what's bigger? Dominates television on Thursday night. We'll be doing a live show on Friday. People talking about the draft. Dominates Friday night. Saturday, not as much, although people are checking their phones, whatever, seeing what moves their team made, what picks have been made. And Sunday's the day of reflection where people hop on YouTube and look at who the hell their team drafted and why. And then you're reading different people and different publications, figuring out why you drafted which player. But you're probably discussing it. Whether they go back to work, can you believe the Chiefs draft? It's probably a question you hear. I hear it from my aunts and mother, and just you're out in the yard, and people are saying, hey, man, who are the Chiefs going to draft? You hear it all the time. You beat the grocery store, and people be talking about the draft. I don't hear them talking about other sporting events. I mean, certainly I don't hear a World Series conversation going on. Do you? Do you hear any of that, Jacob?
But no, NFL draft not. Coverage, it gets around draft time and everybody's curious. And I think that's kind of what draws more attention to it is until the draft starts.
Yeah.
Oh, you could mock up a million different ways the draft could fall, like any way the board could fall. And it's just kind of the aspect of not knowing that allows people to kind of shape their own thoughts or opinions on how it should fall. And that's
And gambling helps, and you name it. Because you know what? People aren't lined up on state line in Missouri now that gambling's legal. Be legal less. You have DraftKings now, I think, on Dog Sports as far as the higher or lower bets, but it'll be fully operational sometime this summer. Alex Gold follows it in depth. But in Kansas, it's legal. But that's why on state line, the Quick Trip casinos, people lined up on state line on the highway on Sunday mornings to get their NFL bets in. Why? Because they're interested in it. And this year, as soon as it's fully operational in the state of Missouri, people are betting on it all the time. You know, people around the country follow the NFL. Patrick Mahomes would be recognized in Seattle. He'd be recognized in New York City. He would be recognized in Boston. I mean, as much as I like the Royals, do you think Bobby is going to be noticed by just whomever in L.A.? Or what it may, maybe he is. Baseball fans would definitely know him. It's like Mike Trout when he would roll around Kansas City and go to different places. He's got that big neck, so you'd probably know who it was. But here's the 913. The Indy 500 is an awesome atmosphere. 100% it is. 100% these are awesome one-day events. I mean, I really get in the Daytona 500. I think it's freaking awesome. But then again, it's kind of a niche deal. I can only find pretty much my NASCAR fans or friends that want to watch it with me. Just the casual person's not going to watch it with me. They're not going to talk about it. You know, at the grocery store, out on the lawn with the beer, they're not going to be bringing it up. You know, the Indy 500 is great, but when are people actually discussing it? I'm talking about things that are top of mind. The NFL is top of mind. 8666 says there, or 660, excuse me, the draft is awesome, but it's way better 20 years ago. Guys spoiling picks on social media. Yeah, that part does suck when they're showing them. They've tried to not do that as much, but everybody tries to get who they're drafting. But, you know, having it on primetime on Thursday night, it's definitely big.
That's if you follow Shefty or anything, I've definitely found myself turning his notifications off because I have his notifications on during the offseason when teams are making big trades. I'm like, oh, I want to be one of the first to know. But you have to turn his notifications off during the draft because otherwise you're going to be spoiled on every single pick that happens.
Because they all try to beat each other and one-up each other and so-and-so had it first. Come on, man. We don't give a rat's ass. Just be right. I mean, seriously, you know what I mean? It's like this quest or this urgency to be right. Does it really matter? No. I love that. People in the media, like, they want to be first, right? They want to be first so bad. Like it matters. Like, tomorrow we're even going to know or care. I can look at some of the biggest deals that have been done in the NFL. Do you really care who broke the news? Do you really care that Jordan Schultz broke the news of Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins getting that big contract? Which, by the way, Schefter and Rappaport didn't even acknowledge really till the next day because they were beaten so bad on the scoop. But does it matter? Do you even remember that? Do you even know that? Who cares? It happened, it happened.
I will say with Woj retiring, Shams got the Luka Doncic trade. They used to call him Woj bombs, and I don't know if they've come up with a name yet.
That dude gets everything
for him, but that was big news.
No, it was. And listen, the Super Bowl is always going to be the Super Bowl. Whether the Chiefs are in it or not, I mean, it helps around this area when the Chiefs are in it. And you've gotten pretty spoiled lately because 5 of the last 6 years, the Chiefs have been in it. But even when the Patriots, and I used to hate and loathe watching those games when they'd be in it, but it's still gathering time for your friends and family and whatever to get together, have a barbecue, a party, whatever it was, drink beer. I never enjoyed doing that stuff. I didn't enjoy going to bars. I do enjoy going to bars and watching sports, Jacob, but if I'm really interested in that team, I don't like doing it. I'd rather sit alone or with someone that's really glued into it. I don't know how you feel. Like, I'm okay at the bar if it's just a casual game and you're watching it and you don't really have a rooting interest in it. But if I have a rooting interest, I don't like it. Don't like it at all. Another text from the 816 asked me, where do you think Luther Burden gets drafted? Matt Miller loves him. Played it the other night. Matt Miller from ESPN, who just re-signed with them, one of their top draft guys. He's on the draft coverage. He absolutely loves Luther Burden. I do, too. If he falls and keeps falling into the first round, if you're the Chiefs, you got to really, really, really think of that. I don't think right now that's the direction they go, but I'm serious. If Luther Burden's still there, that would be kind of hard to pass up. Now, some of these, the latest mocks, Sports Illustrated had on the 20th, they had him going 12th, which I think is way too early. 33rd team said number 32. Draft Tech said 320. Pro Football Network on 320 said the 31st. Rob Rang on Fox Sports, which is really good in what he does. Love hearing from Rob Rang. He has him going 23rd. He did this mock on the 19th. And Chris Trapasso on CBS and back on the 19th of March had him going 28th to the Lions. So into the first round, again, it doesn't really matter. It's like Cooper Kupp went in the third round. Does that even matter? No, he was a first-round pick. People were scared of him, but I don't know why we'd be scared about the all-time leader in catches and yards in FCS. The all-time NCAA, any level, leading receiver in yardage at his time at Eastern Washington. He knew he could ball. Puka Nacua goes in the fifth round. The Rams selected him with their third fifth-round pick. And he led all receivers in catches and yards his rookie year And again, the third fifth-round pick of the Rams. Not like they went out and identified. He wouldn't be their third fifth-round pick. Obviously, if it was done today, he goes a lot higher. Probably first rounder, to be honest with you. But it's where you grab him. You know, diamonds in the rough. Mike Dana has been productive for the Chiefs. He didn't even go to the combine. It was a diamond in the rough find by Veach. You know, Turk Wharton, undrafted. Diamond in the rough by Rev Veach. He goes out and gets a big contract in the NFL. You know, the draft's where you do it. You know, he had 3 seventh-rounders. Been playing in Super Bowls of his team. Nazi Johnson, spot playing here and there. Jalen Watson starting. Isaiah Pacheco. You know, those are all seventh-round picks for the Kansas City Chiefs. They have three of them this year, including Mr. Relevant, the last pick in the draft. Well, I did mention there was a certain mock that came out today. It had a little headline on NFL Network. Chiefs move up and get a key position. We still doing this, people. We still doing this. Talk about that next. Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Jacob Mustard, a couple Oak Park Northmen, home of Obagi. Sherron Collins comes over, wins the state championship. No madness really going on in March Madness. I mean, Colorado State, they were 12, beat a 5 in Memphis, but they were on a hell of a roll. What, 9 straight wins going to the tournament, so it's not that much of an upset. As I mentioned, 35% of 12 seeds beat 5 seeds. About the same odds of 7 beating a 10 or 10 beating a 7. But not a whole lot bunch of madness. So far, a little bit surprised with the name, image, and likeness. We wouldn't have a little bit more of that. But tonight, we do have some games going on. Of course, they'll be going on until 11:30 at night as well. Florida all over Norfolk State, 53-23. It's a 1-16. Kentucky's beaten Troy by 2. This is still early, 11:41 in the first. Marquette down to New Mexico. New Mexico winning 7-3 in the 10-7 matchup. Akron and Arizona later tonight. Oklahoma, UConn later tonight. Xavier, Illinois later tonight. Bryant against Michigan State, a 2:15 matchup tonight at 9. Another 12:05, Liberty and Oregon going at it at 9:10. Earlier action, Duke soundly beats Mount St. Mary's, 93-49. Bama rolls on, 90-81 over Robert Morris. Iowa State, 82-55 over Lipscomb. Maryland, 81, Grand Canyon, 49. Colorado State, as we mentioned, Colorado State, 78. Memphis, 70. North Carolina goes down to Old Miss, 71-64. And what actually was a pretty good game. They were down by 22 points at a time. Got all the way to back to 2 points towards the end, and 4 straight possessions. They just were hitting the rim and it was bouncing out. They just couldn't make it happen, but it was there for them. St. Mary's beat Vanderbilt 59-56. And then Baylor, good old Baylor, number 9 seed, beats number 8 seed Mississippi State, 75-72, if you're into some March Madness. From the text line, 913-586-7965, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. 816 says whoever started marketing March Madness brackets in office pools was a genius. Yeah, everybody does it. Everybody's got it. All the time, you're getting emails from work or coworkers, you name it. I know a ton of people that will call, hey, who do you think's going to win this game? And you don't know. You'll give your advice. And you'll say, please don't take it because I really don't know what I'm talking about because nobody really does as far as brackets are concerned because you can overthink this thing like you do in fantasy football at times. And it just doesn't work out. From 816, Super Bowl, Indy 500, U.S. Open, March Madness. I feel like those are all bigger than the draft. People who aren't diehards in a sport will tune in for those. But I think not even all NFL fans will bother the draft because unless they follow college football really close, they won't know a lot of who gets drafted. I think more people know the NFL draft players going to the draft than any other sport. Now, obviously, there's some argument here. Is it bigger than some of these other sports? You know, these guys, I mean, baseball's more of a learning experience. You're watching maybe high school videos or whatever, and you haven't heard of those guys in college. They show a lot more games on TV now than they used to, but you don't know who these players are, and it might take, you know, 3 or 4 years for them to get to the major leagues, unless it's just a really, you know, hot prospect like a Bobby Witt Jr. or something like that, but that's few and far between. You get a player of that kind of ilk. I'm with you on the Super Bowl. Everybody, like, who do you have winning the Super Bowl? Who do you have winning the Super Bowl? Indy 500? I can't get with you on it, man. I don't hear anybody talking about it. And as far as casual fans tuning into it, I don't see it, man. I don't see casual fans really tuning into the Indy 500. I think more people tune into the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest with Joey Chestnut, to be honest with you. I don't think they watch it. Masters, U.S. Open, I love those. Don't miss them. But again, it's a niche deal where I had to find people that really like those sports to watch them with. But I don't know how it's bigger than the draft. The draft changes everything. It changes your whole team, your whole outlook, what you're looking forward to, who you're going to draft. Especially if you're in the top five picks, you really become interested. I remember this town in 2013, coming off that rough year in 2012, probably one of the worst ever in Kansas City sports history with all the crap that happened that 2012 season. It was bad. It was real bad. I mean, you had Inside Edition coming here because Matt Castle was booed when he got hurt. You had the Javon Belcher incident. You had all these incidents. 2012 sucked. They were the first pick on the clock. And then it was kind of boring because it was like, all right, which direction are they going to go? Are they going to go Luke Jokel or are they going to go Eric Fisher? Which one are they going to go with? The proven guy or the guy that played at Western Michigan? Turns out Lane Johnson ended up being the best out of the whole bunch, to be honest with you. But they went Eric Fisher. He was fine. They won a ring with him. He was definitely better than Luke Jokel, who couldn't stay in the NFL. But people were interested in it. And I think for the most part, they're interested. All right, this is a trade down. Where are they going with it? People that aren't really into it will still flip it on to see who your team drafted or follow their phones and follow the updates or wonder who you drafted. And people talk about it. You think everybody that goes to the draft, you think out of that 750,000 to a million people that attended the draft in Detroit are locked into every pick? Or do you think they're just NFL fans that want to be part of the NFL experience? I mean, people are in the NFL, no matter what, they're watching it, they're seeing what's going on, and they're talking about it. I'm interested in it, though. I'm curious where you would rate it. I think a lot of times you have to rate something on how much people talk about it outside. In the NFL, its popularity is ridiculous. You know, coast to coast, people are filling out fantasy football. Oh, they're doing it at the office, whatever. Same with March Madness. They're doing it because they're talking about it. Same way with the NFL. They're talking about it. I mean, I like fantasy baseball. It's fun and stuff, but it is tough to find a bunch of people that like talking about it. You know, March Madness, everybody tells you who they picked and who they picked in their brackets. Like, we care, we don't. I think telling people who you picked in your brackets a lot like telling people who's on your fantasy football team. I don't think a lot of people give a real rat's ass, to be quite honest with you. They don't care. Someone says they don't watch social media during the draft. It's tough. He says it's easy to avoid. It's not, though, because you are curious. Like, you're hitting refresh a million times and the Chiefs are on the clock. You are. And then all of a sudden, like last year, we were at the landing in Liberty. And all of a sudden, you know, they make a trade up. Who'd they trade with? Oh, Buffalo? What the hell? Why is Buffalo trading the Chiefs? This will be interesting. And that was a storyline all in of itself. And especially in Western New York, they were talking about this. Why are you doing business with the Chiefs again? Now, the Ravens, they learned their lesson this year. The Chiefs were evidently interested in Ronnie Stanley to play offensive line like they were Orlando Brown. But they weren't biting. They went and got a deal with Ronnie Stanley right away. They couldn't stomach him being a Chief once again because these rivals did build up the Chiefs. Buffalo and Baltimore can think what they want, but they built the Kansas City Chiefs. They did. And no team is more responsible for the Chiefs' success than the Buffalo Bills, who gladly gave them pick 10, which was Patrick Mahomes. I mean, they can love Josh Allen, the MVP, all you want. Do you think they hang a banner for MVP? No. It's Super Bowl rings people care about. They can talk themselves into Josh Allen all they want. But all Mahomes has done is either gone to Super Bowls or AFC title games and lost in overtime. Josh Allen hadn't done that. Lamar Jackson hadn't done that. Only Patrick Mahomes has done that. He's the only guy that's paid in one. But that changed the whole. I remember when the Chiefs traded down 10, it was the big buzz. All right, Chiefs definitely going franchise quarterback. It was exciting. It was exciting. And driving around or whatever, you know damn well in your heart you wanted Deshaun Watson. Most people did. But the Chiefs held to it, and they went to Patrick Mahomes. And Patrick Mahomes was their pick. And it was sneered at across the country. I mean, these draft grades came out, C pluses, Cs, things like that. All Mahomes does is lose at Texas Tech. Well, not really if you watch the games. He scored a touchdown every time he was on the field. Threw for 714 yards one game, an NCAA record, tied record. But he had to score every time. His defense was 128th in the country because there's only 128 D1 teams at the time in scoring defense. So he had to score every time on the field. To me, that's attractive. To me, that's a guy that you want. That's a guy that the Chiefs evidently wanted as well, and they did it, and it changed the complexion of Kansas City. 913 says they'd watch women's sand volleyball before they watch the draft. Really? You just saying that? Or do you mean that? You're not flipping on the draft to see who the Chiefs drafted. You're not checking social media to see who they drafted. If they drafted another receiver, they drafted a lineman. You're not checking at all what they did. I think you are. You might not admit it, but I think you are. Because I look at what football does to this town, and people watch it. The ratings are ridiculous. Whether the Chiefs are in the game or not, they're always top five in ratings. Kansas City's always there. Like, football matters in this town. It matters a lot. And not only that, the popularity of college football, these ratings in college football games are getting ridiculous. People know about them. People have opinions on Shedeur Sanders. People have opinions on college football players now. They used to not, but now they're kind of prevalent. They're in the news. And with the NCAA expanding the college football playoffs wisely, they care. Now, it sucks that Kansas and Missouri aren't playing tomorrow because plan on going to the sports board and watching the games and can't watch them play tomorrow. I keep talking about this mock draft. I'll get to it next. I was kind of sidetracked by this. Kentucky Derby. Listen, my old co-host Henry Lake loved talking horse. And he was usually pretty good about it because he'd tell me who the good mutters are. Like, if it's going to rain, he'd tell me who the mutters are. It's good. Kentucky Derby's awesome. But again, are people really talking about it? But they are talking about the draft. We'll talk about that next. And welcome back. It's Friday evening. Jay Binkley, Jacob Buster producing the operation. So I was on NFL.com, right? And they had a headline. I love mock drafts. I go to the NFL mock draft database. It's a great place if you want to see all the mocks put there. It'll tell you like who wrote them and what day. It's right. You can type in said player and it'll tell you which round and which position everybody's mocking said players too. But they had it said ban mock 1.0. It's NFL.com. It says, which team trades up for Travis Hunter? Chiefs fill massive need. Ooh. So I click on it. All right. Who the Chiefs fill a massive need to get? Who'd they get? Mel Kiper, by the way, had him drafted Kelvin Banks, the lineman out of Texas, again, short arms, but he had the Chiefs go in that direction. Guess people still think the Chiefs are going to go tackle at the first pick. It's still popular because it's, well, it's something that you'd think they do need. But this is a projected trade up to 24 with the Vikings to get. What position do you think, Jacob? Because this is a double negative.
I'd have to, again, we kind of talked about how the board falls, and I think it's, you're not a huge fan of going tackle. I'm not a huge fan of going running back in the first round. I mean, I think you take best available with, whether that's Luther Burden.
I'm not a fan of running back in the first round.
If Luther Burden's there, like you're saying, add the offensive weapons, and it's just, you know, it kind of depends who's there, but if you can grab one of the A1, A2 tackles, if they're still on the board because they're sliding, you know, you take a shot on that.
Here's what they had. They had the Chiefs trading up to 24 with the Vikings for Josh Simmons, offensive tackle, Ohio State. Well, first of all, there seems to be an Ohio State issue. Brett Veach has never drafted a player at Ohio State, so that's something to keep in mind. And two, do they really want to draft a tackle with 33-inch arms? Andy Reid's pretty much his average arm length of his left tackles is 34 and a quarter. That's why they hesitated moving Tooney out there from guard to tackle, and they waited till last minute because of the short arms. Now, Simmons is a three-year starter in football. He spent 2 years at San Diego State, though. He started all 13 games at right tackle before transferring to Ohio State. He started 18 games at Ohio State, 13 at right tackle, 5 at left. Is that really a guy that spent only 5 games at left tackle in college football? Is that really a guy that you want to learn on the ropes and block for Patrick Mahomes? Like, is that really the guy? Is that really going to be the answer for the Chiefs' offensive line? That's why the Chiefs went out and got Jalen Moore. They didn't overpay him. They paid a decent amount for him. They really were interested in Ronnie Stanley. Going that direction, I think more. Laramie Tunsil would have been a great fit. But it's Jalen Moore. Yeah, he didn't have much starting experience either. 5 games. You know, he's behind Trent Williams. He might be one of the best ever at left tackle. He's certainly a Hall of Famer. So he's sitting behind him. A former 5th-round pick, too, by the way. So it's a guy that's definitely put his time in and waited. While you can get somebody in the mid-rounds and eventually they turn into a decent lineman, you know, Remember Kingsley last year? He was going to step right in and do it. But again, how much do you trust that? Wanye Morris was the Chiefs tackle. It was his second year throughout OTAs. They get up to training camp. They made the switch to Kingsley, who started the first couple games and was replaced by Wanye. They had four different left tackles last year at different times. But do you really trust somebody that's a rookie that hasn't played a ton at left tackle? I don't think you do, especially shorter arms that didn't fit into the narrative of what Andy Reid wants. That's the problem with these tackles in this class. A lot of them are right tackle. A right tackle, Armon Mimbo from Missouri, is the best offensive lineman, and he's a right tackle. Some say he should be playing guard. He came in at 6'4", though. That's Trent Williams, Tristan Wirfs' height. I mean, so I don't know why. I think he'll be a right tackle in the NFL. But right tackle or moving the guard. The Chiefs were in the same situation. They went out and got Orlando Brown. It was that same draft of Sam Cosmi and Liam Eichenberg and Alex Leatherwood and those guys. They didn't trust it, man. That's why they went out and made a deal for Orlando Brown. That's why they tried to get Trent Williams to like 2 a.m. in the morning before it fell through and he stayed in San Francisco. That's why they won it. And the Chiefs are going to be banking a lot on Jalen Moore. He has a ton of pressure on him, probably more pressure than any Kansas City Chief this season's left tackle and what he can do. Because as a whole, you look at the offensive line, it's pretty much the same, man. And you saw that that wasn't good enough. Juwan Taylor led the NFL in penalties the last 2 years. That's your right tackle. Trey Smith, love Trey Smith. Glad, you know, like to see him in the fold again this year. He was actually really good for the Chiefs. Creed Humphrey at center. Your left guard is going to be a downgrade, whether it's Kingsley, whether it's somebody through the draft, whether somebody gets cut. But your left guard is not going to be as good as Joe Tooney. And I know Joe Tooney's getting up there in age, but the bottom line is he was an all-pro playing guard. He's much better guard than he is tackle, but he's very good at guard. He's won four championships playing guard, two with the Patriots, two with the Chiefs, and gone to two other Super Bowls and lost besides that. Been in six of them. But he's been good, but that's a downgrade with the position. And you hope that Jalen Moore is an upgrade, and you hope whoever they slide in there at left guard can be someone serviceable that can play, because this team had a lot of trouble running the ball in short yardage last year. They had a lot of trouble covering blocking for Mahomes in the Super Bowl. He was running for his life again, like he was against the Bucs a couple years ago. So, yeah, there's going to be more pressure on Jalen Moore. He's got to step up. He's got to be that guy for the Chiefs. But going picking in the draft and going offensive line, it's great in theory because that's what they want. But really sitting there at 31, even if you trade up 24, you really getting somebody that good? I mean, for true, true tackles that you can start right away, you better be drafting in the top 10. And it used to be that way with edge rusher. I mean, it was like an insurmountable amount of guys were drafted like 1 through 18. But then all of a sudden, other guys like Max Crosby started coming out that weren't first-round picks, and guys like Karloftis that went the first end of the first round. T.J. Watt went the very end of the first round. So more and more guys and more edge rushers started to go out later. But offensive linemen, off tackles especially, now, several times, guys that played several years in the league, they don't start turning it on until year two or year three in the NFL. But I thought that was interesting. They said the Chiefs trade up to make a move. And it was with an Ohio State guy, which they haven't drafted, and with a guy with short arms, which that makes it a double negative. So a little bit surprised to see those type of picks with the Chiefs. I have the Chiefs going defensive line. I have Nick Scorton. He was the guy that Chris and I had on Character Concerns, the edge out of A&M, going to the Chiefs. I like Derek Harmon of Oregon, but there's no way in hell he's going to be there at 31. So you got to think, all right, who's going to be there and who's not going to be there. Walter Nolan's been a popular one. That's sliding a little bit with some character stuff, sliding a little bit down the draft. Could he end up with Kansas City maybe? I mean, you never know what you're going to get. But serviceable receiver in the first round, you don't really have to stretch for it, because it become, unless Luther Burden's sitting there, that might be the guy to sit there and make your decision that you just can't pass it up, because you do need more wide receivers. I swear you need more receivers. You probably don't think you do. You probably think you're set at that. You're not. You're not set at wide receivers. Anyway, the NFL's put out some rule proposals. I'm kind of curious where you sit on this, Jacob, and where people sit on some of these rule changes that were proposed, not proposed by the Chiefs, but proposed by other people. Plus, I'll give you a breakdown of some of the scores in the NCAA tournament next.